Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Our sermon text for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, especially these words. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while, and you will see me. In a little while. These words get thrown around our house on a daily basis, maybe an hourly, maybe a half hourly basis. Some form of these words at least, right? Be patient, not yet, soon. Maybe after dinner. Just wait a little bit. Hang on 1 second. See, with a toddler running around or small children, we know that we are going to be petitioned several times a day, if not several hundred times a day. Sometimes it's something easy. Can I have a drink of water? Can I have a snack? But sometimes it's not so easy. Just the other day, Naomi requested to go see a member of our family in Michigan. Not yet. Soon. Soon we'll go back. Soon we'll go and see them. And this is not unlike Jesus' words in our text for this morning. A little while. A little while and you will see me no longer. And again a little while and you will see me. Much like the disciples, we ask ourselves, what is this? What is this that he says to us? A little while. It's everyone's favorite Lutheran question, isn't it? What does this mean? Well, remember what happens to Jesus. This is John chapter 16, and so Jesus has yet to be crucified. In fact, we're only a few hours away in John 16 from when Jesus is arrested, when he is beaten and mocked and crucified. The disciples don't yet understand because they live before the crucifixion, before the resurrection. But here Jesus is preparing them with these words. He's preparing them for the day when they will watch from the sideline as their Lord is taken from them, as Jesus is offered up on the cross, as their Savior dies. And they must have had the greatest of all sadness. And the greatest of all fear. After all, their best friend, their teacher, their mentor, their Savior is gone. What will become of them? What will become of the disciples when their Savior is gone, when their leader is gone? There was much weeping and lamenting done by the disciples. And yet what happened? But the Jewish world rejoiced. Those Pharisees were so glad when the deed was finally done, when the teacher Jesus was gone, out of their hair, out of the picture, for he died. But in the midst of their sadness, in the midst of the disciples' sadness, even while others are rejoicing, Jesus wants his disciples to know, again a little while, and you will see me. The only issue we find with the words a little while in our text, at least for us sinners, is that they're so ambiguous. Jesus says a little while. Okay, well, the first time he says it, he's pretty much talking about a few hours. A little while and you will no longer see me. A little while and I'm going to be dead and they're going to put me into a tomb and I'm going to be resting in darkness. And then he says again a little while and you will see me. He's talking about the resurrection. Jesus rising from the dead. Only this time, a little while, is referring to 3 days later. And so what's it going to be, Jesus? What does a little while mean? Is it a few hours? Is it a few days? Is it a few weeks? We want our sorrow to be turned into joy. Because the truth is that Jesus' words are the same for us too. A little while applies to us in 2016. As God's children, we might ask him at least once a day. if not 100 times a day, for something? How many times have you petitioned God for an end to your suffering, an end to your pain, an end to your illness maybe, or loneliness, an end to financial trouble, an end to contention in your family? And the truth is that we should pray for these things. We should pray for everything, all of our wants of body and soul. Why? Because your Father in heaven loves to give you good things. But even though we want this joy instead of the sorrow, sometimes God answers in a little while. Not yet. Soon. Maybe he even answers, how about after dinner? You endure suffering. You endure want, and you will in this life. But it's not forever. You see, this is what always happens to God's people, and so we shouldn't expect anything different for ourselves. God is in the business of restoring his people. They go through a time of hardship, and then God brings them out of it. He turns their sorrow into joy. Let's look at some examples, right? Israel. We all remember Israel experienced slavery in Egypt for a little while. But then when Moses comes, they are freed and delivered to the promised land. Then, once again, years later, the Israelites are carried off into captivity in Babylon for a little while. But once again, are restored to the land of Israel before Jesus is born. Paul was imprisoned for a time, for a little while, but then he was released to continue his preaching and his teaching. What about Stephen, the first martyr? He was stoned to death, but at the end of his life, he saw the heavens opened and Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. And what happened after his suffering in death? But he entered his eternal glory, his eternal life right alongside Jesus Christ. His suffering was only for a little while. Now, in our own time, we do not have the privilege of seeing Jesus face to face. We might not have that privilege of seeing the heavens opened and get a vision of Jesus Christ before we die. We don't get to see his crucified and risen body as the disciples did on that first Easter. For now, Jesus has bodily ascended into heaven. And for a little while, we will not see him. But even though we can't see him, he won't forget his promises. The promise that he has made to you. For Jesus has not forgotten about your hardship. Jesus has not forgotten about your sorrow, your sadness, your difficulty in this life. He's not forgotten about any of the problems that exist in this world, whether they're big problems, problems that we really can't do anything about, or whether they're small problems. But he has made you a promise of restoration, that he will turn your sorrow into joy. In another part of Scripture, we hear these words. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. That means you will not be put to shame. God will not leave you wanting. He hears your prayers. He knows of your sorrow. And just like every other time God operates with his people, every other time God has restored his people, he will restore you to your former joy. He does the same thing even now. It's precisely why he sent his son in the first place. And so that we could believe that Jesus suffered in all of the same ways we do. He experienced all of the problems of this world, all of the hardships. In fact, he left the Father to live on this earth so that he could eat and drink and sleep and work and suffer and die, just like everybody else. But Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. He is restored to life after his crucifixion. He is restored back to his Father. And because of this, you can be certain that you will be restored as well. That you will experience heavenly joy, just as Jesus does. And while it's something we hope for, while it's something we look forward to, the truth is that it all starts today. Remember who you are. Remember that you are God's child who has been redeemed through the waters of baptism, that you have been connected to the life of Jesus Christ. Remember the restoration promise that he's given you through those waters, a promise of restoration that we have now and we will have more fully when we enter heaven. You see, it all starts today. In a little while, just a little while, maybe 30 minutes, maybe less, maybe 15 minutes, when we come to this altar and receive the very body and blood of Jesus in your mouth for the forgiveness of your sins. It is in these sacraments that Jesus restores you to perfection, that Jesus restores you to life, where he grants you freedom from sin and suffering and sorrow and shame and death. And in these sacraments, he makes you a promise. In a little while. In a little while, there will be an end to all of these things forever. In a little while, your sorrow will be turned into joy. For Jesus has been crucified and risen to take away all of your sin and your sorrow and your shame. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.